Greetings, friends. I'm John Haspel. This is a recording of my Thursday evening Dhamma talk from January 10th, 2019. My talk is on the third chapter from the Dhammapada called the Cittavagga, and it's on the importance of practicing restraint. If you find benefit from this talk, please consider a donation at becoming-buddha.com. Thank you. Peace.
So this is called the Cittavagga. Citta means mind, and vaga very loosely means about, or you know, a teaching on the mind. This particular chapter teaches the importance of developing refined mindfulness through restraint, through holding back rather than always grasping after, and that's the quality of a mind rooted in ignorance of Four Noble Truths, is always seeking to establish itself in every thought, word, and idea that occurs to it. And that's that constant distraction, the constant need to ignore your own ignorance through this ongoing, always self-referential view, lacking restraint. A mind that has developed the wisdom of the Buddha's Dhamma lives in that restraint. It finds peace in that establishment of restraint. There's many suttas, we've gone through that even in Cross River Meditation Center over the summer, about six or seven suttas just on this wisdom of restraint, and that's what this is about. Come on, Bodes, lay down. The Buddha begins. And the Dhammapada is not a direct teaching from the Buddha, rather it's a compilation after the Buddha's death from senior monks and nuns about very specific teachings related or structured in a chapter-by-chapter way in this book. Come on, lay down. The mind, fickle, unsteady, difficult to restrain. Even so, the wise Dhamma practitioner straightens the mind like a skilled fletcher straightens an arrow. Another one, just a beautiful line because of the visual. That's the whole point of the Buddha's Dhamma contained in that one opening sentence. A wise Dhamma practitioner controls his mind. And how often is that, I shouldn't even say it that way, that is a continual ongoing theme throughout the entire Buddha Dhamma. Everything he teaches is about gaining control of your mind and practicing restraint at the sixth sense base. The Buddha continues here, the chapter continues. A mind ruled by Mara is agitated like a fish out of water, gasping and flopping here and there. So again, the visual is wonderful, and as you know, Lorna, and just you know, to explain it for the online folks, Mara is commonly used, or metaphor is commonly used throughout the Buddha's teaching, and Mara, the malevolent god Mara, is always metaphor for the troubled mind that is rooted in ignorance of Four Noble Truths. Not to get too deep into that, the use of that type of metaphor really relates to mental qualities, and in this case a troubled mental quality rooted in ignorance of Four Noble Truths. The mind is difficult to restrain, ever changing, always clinging to objects of desire. Get the lay down, Bode. Come on, you're particularly agitated. Go lay down and meditate. Sorry, Lord. The highest knowledge is restraint. What a powerful saying. The highest knowledge. This is an awakened human being making this declaration. The highest thing we can hope to develop in our minds is restraint. Rather than, and think about that in relation to an ever-grasping self-referential ego personality. It's the perfect counter for that, isn't it? Wise restraint, knowing how and when to apply restraint at the sixth sense base. Let me take a little sip of water here. Okay, folks, lay down. Come on. There he goes. The highest knowledge is restraint. A restrained mind dwells in peace. So if we want to really develop a calm and peaceful mind, which is, it's really the motivating factor, I think, for anyone to develop or start looking into, in quotes, a so-called spiritual way of life, and maybe in particular, studying Buddhism, when that teaching that we're following only encourages further ignorance of Four Noble Truths and further eye-making, there can be no peace because there's no restraint. And when you look at the simple Dhamma, simple and direct Dhamma that the Buddha taught, no adaptations, no accommodations, no embellishment to it, a simple eightfold path with the other supporting suttas, and then you contrast that to what has developed out of cultural and charismatic individual clinging to their own ideas, their own ignorance. It's astonishing how broad and how distracting it all is the point I'm making is it's a perfect example of a lack of restraint. Buddha continues, a grasping mind is subtle, hard to recognize. The wise guard the mind. A well-guarded mind brings lasting happiness. It's really the antithesis of how we're encouraged to live our lives, always grasping after the next thing and more of this and more of that. Within modern Buddhism, it's grasping after the next eloquent teacher or the next Buddhist psychologist or the next Buddhist poet or whatever it might be, rather than look at what the Buddha actually taught and practice restraint. A well-guarded mind brings lasting happiness. Dwelling in distraction, the mind, disjoined from the body, wanders aimlessly. When subdued, this mind is freed from the bonds of Mara. Again, that points directly to the essence of the Buddha's teaching. The word samsara is often used, mostly incorrectly, but to describe a person wandering aimlessly in their own confusion. Of course, usually when that's used, it's not taught that the way to stop doing that is through the Eightfold Path. But that's what the Buddha's referring to. A mind disjoined from the body wanders aimlessly. So if we are constantly engaged in a practice, no matter what it is, much of modern meditation practices encourage to keep the mind out of the body, where the Buddha taught just the opposite, to reunite the mind and the body. And this mind is freed from the bonds of Mara. The Buddha continues, wisdom is never developed in a mind that is ignorant of the heartwood. The heartwood is always a reference to the Eightfold Path. Listless, not established in jhana, not established in concentration. When there is desire, there is fear. Lauren, I think you remember that. That's from the Loka Sutta. But that's, again, a common theme. Wherever there's desire, grasping after something, feeling that we need something to be fulfilled, there's going to be fear that we might not get it, or once we get it, fear that we're going to lose it. And it just keeps the mind in turmoil. Where there is desire, there is fear. There is no fear of an awakened one, free of greed and aversion, free of gaining and losing. The wise understand the impermanence of form while fortifying the mind to abandon Mara, to abandon that. We understand that this form that we, there's another sentence that's very powerful later on that references this. We understand that this form is impermanent, which means that the opportunity to awaken is impermanent too, and we don't know when the cow is going to get us, when this form will cease and there's no longer an opportunity to awaken. And so the wise fortify the mind to abandon Mara, abandon ignorance. Established in right view, Mara conquered, now free of worldly entanglements. In no time this body is dust, mindless, lifeless, a useless stump. And again, in the context of the Dhamma, a useless stump as far as developing awakening. An unrestrained mind brings greater harm than any enemy or hater. Think about that, how powerful that, a mind that is lacking restraint. Again, the essence of the Buddha's Dhamma is to develop restraint and cease conceit, cease ongoing eye-making. An unrestrained mind brings greater harm than any enemy or hater. And if you think about all of the difficulties in our lives, in our own lives, is because our minds weren't restrained enough to recognize and not take what was occurring personally. And then in some instances, maybe lashing out in anger, and then it'll take it out of our individual experience. All of the conflicts in the world are rooted in that. And you can see that the great conflicts arose from unrestrained minds. And it truly is the great enemy of all human beings, isn't it? An unrestrained mind. No one and no thing brings greater benefit than a mind well restrained. No one and no thing brings greater benefit than a mind well restrained. Again, the reason why the Buddha taught the meditation method that he taught, the only meditation method he ever taught, was to develop concentration. The initial establishment of a mind restrained is a mind that is well concentrated. A mind that's using meditation and all the other foolish ways is a mind that's simply grasping after things within a meditation practice. It's using a meditation practice for continued eye making in that way. I thought that was the end. I'm going to bring just mention that once more, that last line. No one and no thing brings greater benefit than a mind well restrained. So again, that's the essence of the Buddha's teaching. It's not for gaining any type of mystical knowledge or establishing the self in non-physical realms. It's certainly not to discover some inner Buddha nature or Buddhahood. That's a grasping mind that wants to do that. It's a mind well restrained, rooted in this simple and direct meditation practice, and then the refined mindfulness that is developed through the heartwood of the Dhamma, through the Eightfold Path. So that's tonight's talk. Lorna, you can unmute your mic if you want.
Yeah.
Ah, there you are.
Yeah.
So what do you think about tonight's chapter from the Dhammapada?
Well, I have read them through in the daytime.
Good.
So I kind of knew what to expect. But yeah, you just can't move away from the fact that if you are concentrated, not to go down the roads of, you know, developing who you think you are.
Yeah.
You can see the logic of the quietness and stillness of your mind as you go about your day. And that's really what I get out of these readings tonight, that it's the understanding of and choosing the quietness and the stillness in your mind rather than the distractions which we tend to get distracted onto. And it's holding that thought throughout the day, really, that's the trick. But that's where the Eightfold Path comes in, and your teachings. You know, you would just understand the process.
Yeah, and Lorna, what a skillful way to put it, because it really is our choice. When we start developing the Dhamma, rooted in a jhana practice, a meditation practice that's focused on deepening concentration, we can gain control of our thinking. Just like the Buddha said in the Vatthakasanthana Sutta, we gain the ability to think what we want to think, when we want to think it, when it's appropriate. But it's our choice, isn't it? It's a choice that only someone who has developed a measure of concentration can take, though. Because if our minds aren't restrained, if we don't have some concentration, we don't even realize there's a choice. Our mind just keeps going and going and going, attaching itself to one thing after another to continue eye making, rather than developing a calm and peaceful mind through the choice that the Dhamma gives us. I really love that you said it. I wish we had a bigger class tonight, but more people will hear this. It really is. It is a choice.
And it's there was one time a few days ago, I actually went to sit down in the TV room, and I meant to bring my phone to read something, and I forgot the phone, and I couldn't be bothered to get up and go in the kitchen and get the phone again, one thing. And I just thought, well, I could either entertain myself with the phone, or, you know, I know my mind will surely start on some junk that I'm carrying around in my mind that I'm about to iMake with. And I thought, well, I could either get up and watch some junk on my phone, or I could just sit here and watch the junk run through my mind. It's equally both distractions, yeah. You know. I just had a little laugh to myself that, you know, I understand they're both distractions of different types, but that's what happens. You know, you sit quietly in a room and off goes your mind.
Yeah.
You know? And you have to really be ready for it and then understand what's happening. And this is not me, this is not mine, this is not who I am, etc. You're on, you know, you just keep your mind sort of focused on the Dharma teachings and hope that you just, sometimes where you just have to give yourself a laugh about it, you know, it can be a bit too serious sometimes, so you just have to have a laugh.
Oh yeah, when you look at this from the point of right view, a self-referential ego self is laughingly absurd.
Yeah.
And it deserves to be laughed at. And again, a profound thing you said, Lorna, the cell phone, the smartphone has become a modern day metaphor for ignorance, hasn't it? And,
yeah.
And constant distraction. And that's how we do it. And to recognize that the distraction that we're finding in our smartphones and every other electronic gadget is just a reflection of what's going on in our mind. And as we start slowing that down and practicing restraint, we won't need to have our smartphone with us all the time. We can just sit quietly and develop ever deepening levels of concentration.
That's right.
Free, and I know you see it this way, free of the entanglement of the world in a very specific way. I can leave my smartphone in the next room. I don't need it with me.
Yeah.
But I need my dog with me. Oh, God, stop it. Come on, lay down. Well, I'm so glad you joined me for tonight. We're going to start, I think I mentioned it last night, but I think you know anyway, we're going to start the Truth of Happiness Dhamma study on Saturday too.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it a little bit differently in that we're going to study the chapters as we do every year that we do it. But every now and then I'm going to introduce or reference another sutta. So we're going to start Saturday with the Bhadakarata Sutta, the sutta on the auspicious day, because that's always an auspicious time, you know, to do this. So.
Good.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining me, Lorna. I'll see you Saturday.
Yes. Okay, John.
Great. Please tell Tom I said hello.
I will. Thank you for tonight.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening. I rely on donations to support these talks. If you find benefit from these talks, please consider a donation at becoming-buddha.com. I welcome your questions and comments. To contact me and for guided meditations and instructions, Dhamma articles, recorded talks, and videos, please visit becoming-buddha.com. These talks are copyrighted and are distributed under a Creative Commons License 4.0. Peace.